what do we equate that to? Shroot Bucks or Stanley Nichols? What's the exchange rate? How many Shroot Bucks does 10,000 Gold Dragons get me?
Charges of the Game, Game of Thrones Rewatch Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Lovegood, Luna's favorite cousin, Dennis Graham's social media manager. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Gingy My Love and Turi Glenn. Hey, fellas.
Edit that out. Edit that out.
Welp, this week, we are discussing Game of Thrones Season 4, Episode 4, Oathkeeper, an air date of April 27th, 2014, written by Brian Cogman, directed by Michelle MacLaren, and had a rating of 6.95 million. So up, despite Gingy's rating.
I don't know how.
You just fully don't agree with it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say the last episode was bad. It might have been like boring compared to like the last couple before it, but like it wasn't a bad episode. I don't call it bad. I just call it, like I said last week, the letdown. Coming off that high.
I agree.
Now this episode here is what I would call withdrawals. I'm like fucking shaking the shit. Want to throw that high again?
All right.
This episode was better than last episode.
Yeah, I thought so as well.
It's still just a little slow.
But yes, it is. But I think it's better because of one specific scene.
Honestly, like season 3 to 7, I don't think they miss. So.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Because we open in Meereen with some damn romance. Finally. Sansa and Grey Worm.
How on this romance?
Yes.
That's what I was going to say.
This is not a first date. He's asking her about herself. She's asking him about himself. She's teaching him how to read, which, like, yes, her boss told her to do it, but teaching a man to do something means you want him to be a better person.
Sure. Like, she is the English teacher. Like, she's just teaching him English or whatever language we're speaking in English.
This is such a romantic scene. And I get why y'all don't get it, because you're men. So you don't understand, like, the romance in this tension and him being so engaged in what she's saying and asking her about herself. Romantic.
No, I get it, because when Katie's talking about her music stuff, like, I get the same way. Like, I'm like engaged, like I'm focused on what she's trying to explain to me and what is she's into.
Bullshit. You're looking like you're focused on what she's trying to explain to you, but you're not. You're thinking about a million different things.
Nah.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, look, wait till you get that time in, and then you're gonna get to the point where you just Yup.
I'm so sorry, Brittany.
Or you might just get to the point where you're just like, are you done?
She said her ex, whenever like she was explaining all this stuff to her ex, he would fall asleep while she's explaining it. And like, I ain't doing that.
I ain't never done that. I ain't never fall asleep but somebody explaining something to me. I either am going to look like I care or just make it known that I do not care. That way it stops. One of the two. Real nigga.
The bar is in hell. Is in hell.
But that's the beauty of it, and that's why I got the time in. You set the bar so low that way anytime you go above and beyond, man, that shit looks great. I exceed expectation a lot of the time. I ain't shit.
Oh. Okay.
I ain't shit.
Please call the lady. I am begging you to call the lady.
I don't know the lady.
And that's the problem. Anyways.
But yeah, this is the English lesson. Do y'all like this opening scene, honestly? Like this whole sequence of everything that's going on? Like even past the English lesson, then we get into like everything else with Daenerys. I'm like, man.
I mean,
I thought it was great.
I thought it was pretty meh.
Before we move on from the English lesson, though, Grey Worm, they got their hands sitting on the table, and he goes in to try to grab hers, and she backs away.
Yeah.
She's scared. And right? And really, if you're a female...
Usually when I'm editing, and I hear you say something that I know would make Olivia Benson go, ooh, I edit. So this is not getting put in. Anyway.
Come on now.
Detective Benson would be on your ass, fella. Anyway.
That's just a question.
Kill the masters. Eat the rich. Same thing.
How do you feel about this, James? Like, do we think this is going to backfire on her?
No.
Do you think it's extreme?
Getting the slaves to kill the masters?
Yeah, and then like putting
no,
them on
I
a
think
cross.
It's the all right, so that part I kind of side with Barrison and saying that they should show mercy, but also at the same time it's like, do they really deserve mercy? But I also think it's a context thing, because you know, I feel like we should show the master's mercy, but then also at the same time, I don't think that I should show Theon mercy.
Okay.
But I think it's the context of the thing, is that I'm trying to remember what I was thinking earlier, because I was trying to justify how I can say that I should not show Theon mercy, but I should show the master's mercy. But I think it's because she is in a position to rule, and Theon pretending to rule.
Okay. And I think that for me, it's like you're in a position of rule. So like, again, the man who passes the sentence to swing the swords. So should we put the swords in the hands of all these slaves and just say, hey, look, run amok and do what you want?
I mean, that's not really
Because that's kind of what they did.
They said, no, they didn't say run amok. They didn't run amok. They
okay.
Like,
you ain't got to say run amok, but like, let's think about it. In the 1800s, if you would have gave black folks a bunch of weapons and said, hey, go kill the masters, we would have ran amok. And the country would look a lot more different, a lot different now.
But I'm saying, like, they said straight up, like, they've had revolts that failed before. Have, like, I mean, Nat Turner, hello. There were slave revolts that failed. Like, this one worked because they were well armed, and then they also had an army of unsullied behind them.
Yeah.
Correct.
Like, it wasn't just them.
But are they keeping the swords? Like, are we letting them keep the weapons at this point? Are we taking them back? Like, what are we doing?
I see.
I know what happens in the show, but I'm just saying for context and like just conversation for James, who doesn't know what happened.
I think like, they're going to keep the swords. Anybody that wants to join the army is going to join the army, I feel like.
Okay.
Yeah. You always give them a chance to join the army.
Yeah. Like, more men, the better.
Oh, no. I just think it's dangerous to be putting weapons in people's hands that might not know what to do with them.
Yeah, but now you're going to have all this time of traveling from Marine to Westeros to train those people.
Yeah, we make it.
So by the time they get to Westeros, they'll be
if we ever get there, she might just be
I
happy
mean, if we
fucking
ever get there.
Liberating.
Because I still do agree that she's wasting time.
Like...
However, now might be a good time to actually attack. Like, she need to get on the boats now and come on across, because the kingdom kind of in shambles right now.
Okay.
And
a
king's a fucking 10-year-old.
Well, I have a question about her ruling, because, like, I spent a lot of time studying Reconstruction
okay
in my history classes. So Like, so she's liberated these slaves now. Like, they get 40 acres and a mule. What happens? Like, how does she handle that? How does she handle like this mass of people who are like now free? Because like, and then when you think about the slave city, she's already set free. Like, after the Civil War, the federal government had to station troops in the South to make sure that Black people got their actual rights. So, like, has she left unsullied in these other cities? Like, what's gonna happen there? There's a lot of logistics to liberation.
And I think that's a really good question because, like, is it Unsullied there? Is it the Second Sons where there's only one son left and we don't know where the other ones are at? And then if it's them, like, how secure are you in leaving them when they're sellswords? So that's a good question. But if it's me and I'm in her shoes, like, I don't think I would give people the tools to revolt against me the moment I piss them off.
I mean, like, I don't feel like they would revolt against you because, like, they are grateful for their freedom.
Correct. The shit changes.
It's, but yeah, you're right. How long is it going to take you to piss?
Correct. Like, the government could send me a $1,000 check today, but then my taxes, I might be paying taxes. I'll be pissed off at the government again.
Well, they're going to get their share. Don't you worry.
Exactly.
Well, I just want to point out how fast those bodyguards dipped out when that mob came at the master. Very, very much like a, this is above my pay grade. Like, they're not looking for me.
Very much so.
And that last shot of Danny on top of the pyramid with the flag. Breathtaking. Very powerful shot. But
See, to me, her standing on top of the pyramid is kind of like, to me, is like symbolism that she is now like a dictator rather than being with the people on the same level as them.
okay.
I
Like
like
she's
that.
been trying, like she's been trying to be or say that she's being. Okay. Yeah. She does look, she also looks very happy to be amongst those people who are so excited to be liberated by her. Like she's once again being hailed as a liberator, and like we've seen how she handles it. So
Was
like,
it?
so what happens if she's not liberating people?
Well, that's a good question. How long before she gets bored, really?
That or
Or she
runs
has to
out
go
of
conquer
people to
something else.
liberate.
Right. 'Cause like, do you think if she gets to Westeros, she'll be hailed as a liberator?
Good question. I think it's all about how people perceive her family at this point when she gets back to Westeros. If she gets back to Westeros, like, what's my thoughts on the Targaryen? Because the last one won't shit.
Absolutely.
And this is his kid, so.
Well, I guess we'll see.
Also,
Maybe if she
we
gets
gotta
there.
think about what like what's her face said in House of Dragons when she was talking to Rhaenyra, talking about how they don't want to see a woman on the throne.
That too.
They
They'd rather watch the country burn, something like that. Isn't that
don't
what they
want
said?
to see a woman on the
Watch
throne.
the party die.
Listen. Pledge allegiance to the flag. Hey, so. Anyways, in King's Landing, Jaime finally visits his little brother.
Was it more peaceful than you thought it was going to be, James?
Just two siblings hanging out.
Yeah, I didn't think back when Cersei told Jaime to kill him, I didn't think he was going to do it anyway, so.
I didn't think he was either when I first watched it, but I did think that he was going to go in a little more pissed off. Like kicking the door and be like, "Yo, what the fuck did you do?"
No, because of the way he, when Cersei held Joffrey's body, Jaime looked up and didn't really seem like he was convinced that Tyrion had done it anyway, so.
And Jamie makes a really good point, like when he talks about Sansa running. Like, if Tyrion did do it, why the fuck would you just stand there with the cup in your hand?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and like there's like a really good brother moment too between them when like he asks if like he says that like he knows Cersei would wants to kill him. And then Jamie says, yeah, she's already asked me. And he goes, should I turn around and close my eyes? Like, nasty word.
Yeah. You're really asking me to kill if I kill my brother? That was really touching.
It
Yeah.
was. This was such an emotionally
And I
touching.
think the setup to this scene too was really good with like Bronn like talking Jamie through it.
Yeah.
And I think that really helps when Bronn convinces Jamie like Tyrion's not a killer. Like, there's no way.
And you know what that is? That's like the scene in the Black movie where like somebody has to be convinced to go visit their parent in the hospital, like, of how important it is.
Yeah, pretty much. Don't want them to die without saying goodbye.
Exactly. I mean,
Yo,
look.
you don't want that on your heart. Yo, Black folks say that shit all the time. I remember, you don't know how many times I got told as a kid, don't go to bed mad at your siblings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get told that.
I get told don't, well, not anymore, but I used to hear don't get mad. Don't go to bed mad at your spouse or your significant other or whatever.
That too.
I don't do that. Like, I'll go to bed mad. I'm not gonna sit up and argue with you all night. We'll
Yo,
talk about it this
next
morning.
time I argue late at night, I think I'm gonna just post that question. Yo, what if I die in my sleep? How are you gonna feel?
But Jamie does offer to help Tyrion. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? Like, I can't sneak you out of here. Like, be realistic. What do you need from me?
I don't even know what you could ask him.
Well, like, we do know one thing he
Well,
asks him. We find
I
that
mean,
out later.
besides what we see later, but like, it's not really helping Tyrion's situation. That's helping the people around Tyrion.
Do you think if things were dire enough, Jamie would sneak him out here?
I do.
I don't think so.
No. Yeah. I mean,
Actually, you know what? I take that back. I think if it's pre-captured Jaime with both hands, still on Cersei's good side, he does it. But now that he doesn't even know like his standing with Cersei or where he's at with her, like I don't think he's going to try to piss her off too much.
Okay. I like that. I like that. I like that.
Because they have a very like huge strain in their relationship.
See, I don't even think even before he would do it just because he already gets hell for being called Kingslayer and he hates it so much. So if he goes out and releases a Kingslayer, then he's just gonna be worse and it's gonna kill
I don't think so. I don't think so now. I think
him.
now he doesn't even give a fuck about that. Now, like post capture Jamie doesn't give a fuck. I think he's made amends with that, like in that whole conversation with Brienne. I think that part of him is long gone. I think like pre-captured he cared about that, but now he doesn't. Now I think it's all about Cersei for him. Like, how do I win her back? Because I've lost this chick.
Well, I think he's focusing on the wrong girl.
Maybe. We'll
Agree.
Get to that. We'll get to that later in the episode too.
Remember that thing that that fella said about chaos and ladders?
I do.
About how causing chaos gives you an opportunity to do a little sleight of hand. Yeah. So Sansa fully ass Littlefinger. Where, first of all, where are you taking me? Where are we going? So we know they're headed to the Vale. So has she just been hanging out in King's Landing for this fortnight at least?
He might have been hanging out like in the water.
Yeah, I put that in here to ask. Did he ever go back to the Eyrie?
Right. Or has he just been hanging out on that boat?
I think he's just been hanging out on that boat, scheming.
There's a lot of questions I would have, like, in terms of if he ever made it back, just because of, like, the next scene. Like, everything he says in this scene about, like, know who the killer is. He tells Sansa she's involved, like, all that shit. And then, like, how long did it take him to scheme all this shit up with the other person?
Right. Because he owns up to being in on it. So, Ginge, did you see that coming?
No. Like, really? I suspected he was in on it, but I didn't expect him to sit there and just tell Sansa that he did it or he was part of it.
But he told her. Why do you think he told her that he was a part of it?
To gain her trust.
Hmm.
To make, because she's gullible and trying to get her to
believe in him. Is she gullible, or is he telling her, bear with me for a second, let me put you on game?
I think it's layers to this. I think he's telling her because he wants to gain her trust, but I also think he's telling her to instill fear for her to gain his trust. Because, like, this is at this point, it's like, look, I'm a killer. I can kill you, no matter. It ain't got to be me that does the killing. I don't have to be the one holding the knife, holding the cup, holding the gun. Like,
right,
you just might disappear fucking with me.
But like, to go back to the necklace, Ginge, I pointed it out to TJ. I'm sure you didn't notice. I guess we'll get to it in the next scene, but like the fact that he put it in the necklace.
Wait a minute.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. I promise you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But like, he's actually like really putting her on game here. He's like telling her, like, this is how the game is played. And he's essentially telling her, like, he's a dirty player. Like, I play dirty. Like, I'm gonna do stuff behind the scenes. I'll get new friends if I have to. Like, he's willing to risk losing his, like she said, you're willing to risk losing your head just to confuse them. Like, little, like, Joffrey was vicious, but he, like Tyrion said, he was a vicious idiot.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's vicious and dumb.
Yeah, he's vicious and dumb. Littlefinger is Ric Flair.
Put us on game.
Yeah, he's a dirty player, but it seems like it's working for him now. But like, what does he want? What does he want? Gross look at Sansa.
Yeah, that's why I say that he's trying to like gain her trust and make her fear him to where he can just tell her anything.
I don't think he wants her to be afraid of him.
But he also wants to come across as a hero too. Like, I killed Joffrey.
That's what
but
he...
I think it's also a thing where it's like, I killed Joffrey and I wasn't even there. So like, you can disappear fucking with me. No,
it's, I don't think it's not a fear thing. It's fully just
Maybe.
trusting. It's a grooming thing. Like, it's
Yeah, I
just
think he's trying to get her to lay down all her guard with him, and then he can move in and be a scum.
Yeah, it's fully just a
Yeah,
grooming thing.
scum is a good word for that.
The last thing he wants is for her to be afraid of him. Because it's obvious from that look. She's somewhere in his game plan.
Yes.
Where do you think she's at in his game plan? Like, what do you think his motives are with her?
Well, she's heir to the North, so, and as far as he knows, she's the only heir to the North, so he gonna take he gonna be married to what's her face and have that
Liza.
area, and then gonna try to get Sansa to turn the North with him. He wants everything, so the North is part of everything.
So does he, since he is gonna be married to somebody, right? Does he let Sansa go to somebody else? Does he choose who she's gonna be with? Like, is he the string puller now? Like, is he just gonna be setting everything up?
I feel like he's already got everything set up and he's just putting the plan in motion.
Chaos is a ladder. Speaking of Littlefinger's alliances and growing strong, Lady OG's on her way out of King's Landing, but not before she has some very good advice for her granddaughter. This is my favorite. I know, but this is my favorite Lady OG scene. This is it.
Really?
I was
This
very,
is
very good.
better than the one that happens later in the series.
Yes, I love this. I love this story about how, like, I was supposed to marry a Targaryen and I saw him and I was like, fuck that. And then I saw this fat oaf that I also fucking hated, but I went and turned him the fuck out.
Oh, I
Now,
did some research on the
girl,
Targaryen that she was in love with, or that she was supposed to marry to. Have you done the research on this?
I have not. No,
Okay,
but
so it's Daeron Targaryen, who would be the Mad King's uncle. And after his shit with Lady Olenna fell through, he ended up fucking gay. He ended up with a male knight.
for him getting away
Yeah.
with his truth. So
Because you said what?
she did him a favor.
Yeah, pretty much. Because his father, I can't remember, was it Jaehaerys maybe? Was his dad? But his dad was known as the king who let his kids love whoever they wanted. All of his kids didn't do their planned marriages.
Well, good for him. Wow. Progressive.
Yeah, so.
Progressive. Anyway, she fucked Luther Tyrell till he couldn't walk the next morning. And now she is the Lady of Highgarden. That's how it's done. Take note, Marge. Now it's your turn.
So you know what you should do, grown ass Marjorie? You should go in that little boy's bedroom and seduce him. That's what you should do next. You're a grown woman, but go seduce that little boy.
Let me tell you something. We'll get there. We'll get there too. Yikes. We'll also get there. But Cersei is regent again. So, like, she's kind of got a point. Like, Cersei now has a title. She's got a little bit of power. We know what Cersei's going to do with even the tiniest bit of power. And then Tommen is a lot easier to handle than Joffrey. But there's also the matter of her father. So we'll see how that goes.
Yes.
But we also get a confession because did you think I was gonna let you marry that beast? Did you see it?
Yeah, there ain't no way there's no way you can honestly say you saw that coming.
Nah, that was surprising to me.
Okay, so the little part in this scene where she fixes Margie's necklace. Okay. So at the wedding feast, when she went over to talk to Sansa, she played with her hair. She touched the necklace. The next shot of Sansa, you could see that the stone was missing out of the necklace. That's when she swiped it.
I miss that.
Yeah. Well, you didn't know to look for it.
Also true.
Yeah, so now you can go back and see, but that's when she swiped it. That's how she poisoned him.
I knew to look for it, and I still didn't catch it. Like, I knew that's where the poison was at. I just didn't realize they showed the stone missing, like in the.
Yeah. Yeah, like I had never looked, like I knew the same thing, but I like hadn't looked for it. But like this time I specifically was like looking at that necklace. But I thought it was just so brilliantly done, because then it also makes you like go back to the last episode and see like when the stone went missing. Like, did they put it in? But yeah. So how do you think this is gonna go with Tom? And like, do you, like, first of all, do you think this is it for the conspiracy? Do you think it's just Littlefinger and Olenna?
Just them two conspiring together?
Yeah.
Out of all the people that I know, I don't really see anybody else conspiring with them two.
Okay.
Unless
Is
it's
it hard to believe they like trusted Dantos with this information as well?
Yes.
Like, knowing how calculated the two of them are?
Well,
They're
I
just
mean,
trust this guy.
They didn't really have to trust Dantos with anything. All they really had to do was give Dantos a necklace to give to Sansa and then tell them when everything goes to shit, take Sansa out.
Yeah, true.
Like, they didn't have to tell him, we're going to poison the king, and here's how.
But they probably promised him some shit, too.
Well, he promised him 10,000 gold dragons.
Yeah. And probably a nice house in fucking Highgarden and some shit.
You don't have to, like, no, well, because he was going back to King's Landing, but, like, they're going to kill him anyway. I mean, 10,000 gold dragons is more than enough money.
Yo, what do we equate that to? Shroot bucks. Or Stanley Nichols. What's the exchange rate? How many shroot bucks does 10,000 gold dragons get me?
Oh man. So Locke has made it to Castle Black. How are we feeling?
He belongs.
Right?
He fits in.
And look at the way that John trains versus the way that Alice are trained. Like, John is specifically training them to fight wildlings, number
correct.
One. And when Locke goes overboard in the fight, John reprimands him, whereas we've seen Alistair be like, yeah, do it again.
Yeah.
I hate
but
that man's bad.
Locke does make a really good point, though. Like, this ain't the time to be like training. Like, we got to get these motherfuckers ready to fight.
Well, we got our Lord Snow call back. Alistair's.
Yo, imagine having somebody that good who's training the men to fight, but the wildlings knocking at your door, and they're going to get pissed off at him and tell him to go be a fucking steward again.
Pride. Pride.
Yeah, pride gets killed, too.
He feels threatened.
And Locke introduces himself to John.
Which, when he shook his hand,
yeah.
Is he missing a pinky? Is Locke missing a pinky?
Did you catch that?
I don't think so. I think it's just the way his
hand was. Oh, okay. Because like, I paused it and tried to do like the frame by frame thing, but I couldn't do it. But it looked like he ain't got no pinky.
Speaking of no pinky, though, like he chose the wall over losing a hand. Thought that was pretty ironic. Okay.
Especially like when he's talking about highborn cunts, and we know the last highborn cunt he shook hands with, he cut it off.
Yeah.
Oh, John. You might be in danger, friend.
What do you think, James? Well, we'll talk about it towards the end. I'll ask this question at the end. I'll save it.
We'll save that question because right now it's wine o'clock in King's Landing.
Wait. I forgot I had this question. Because I don't remember. Did they ever figure out what happened to John's uncle?
No.
No, that is still
Okay.
Dead.
And we're never gonna know.
Well,
He's
no.
oh, okay.
Well, that don't tell him.
I mean, that's a,
Doomed dead.
it's gonna get answered.
That's what I need to know. Make sure it's not another loose end here.
Just gotta make sure he looks out for it. I need him to be on his P's and Q's here.
No, don't be on your piece. There could be a loose end. It could just be a loose end.
Oh, there's gonna be plenty of loose ends. No worries.
Perhaps. Kisas. Anyway, it's wine o'clock at
Oh,
King.
before we go there too.
No, here we go. Jesus
Sorry, you be
Christ.
speeding through this shit. Like, I know you got shit to do, but it's all right. We don't. I ain't got shit. I have no life here. Anyway. Sorry, I've been dealing with water all day. Like, I wanna talk this out. I wanna talk this out. What's his name? The guy from the City Watch
Janice.
also su suggests in the scene that we let John go get himself fucking killed.
No, that's the next one.
No, I wrote it down. I think they talk about it more in the next
Oh,
one,
okay,
but
you're right.
he suggested in the scene. Like, hey.
He suggests in the scene that you let John get killed. Why? Otherwise, you're going to be taking orders from him the rest of your life.
Correct.
They like him. They do not like you.
Alistair still didn't believe it, and we'll get to that in the next scene. He still doesn't think
Which,
that they like him.
right. And then the next scene, like, kind of proves his point, in my opinion.
The City Watch guy's point.
Yes.
Correct.
No. We'll I'll talk about it when we get to
Okay,
it.
we'll get there.
I'll talk about it when we get to
1 o'clock, King's Landing. Let's go.
it.
I don't want to do it anymore. Forget it. You host it.
Well, 1 o'clock, King's Landing. I'll do it. Fuck it. Put my own transition in here. It's 1 o'clock in King's Landing. Cersei has something to say.
it.
Was my best Lord impression.
You
I thought I did pretty well.
did amazing, actually.
I thought that was pretty good. Cersei is paranoid and on edge.
Oh, just a
Cersei needs a
little.
drink.
She turning into Robert. That's what she's doing.
Oh, look at you. I like
She
that.
is full circle.
Yes. All right. Well, anyways, she hits Jamie with a. I just think it's funny how you got back here unscathed. I heard you fought a fucking bear for this monster that brought you here.
You fought a bear for this bear? The fuck?
Yikes. Jealous much? She really is starting to fall like further and further into misery and madness. It is
Yeah.
something to see. And she wants to beef up Tommen's security because, like, who's on him? Just Sir Boros? You need like four dudes on Tommen at all times.
Which justified.
Her defense, the next scene. Yeah.
Justified. Not even in the next scene. Like what just happened to her other son? Justified.
But it seems a lot like Cersei really like needs this to be Sansa and Tyrion that did this. Like she needs it. And I understand like needing someone to blame when some shit happens, but be for real.
I think so. I think if you get if I think if somebody close to me were murdered, right? And there was a suspect out there and he was getting accused of it and he's sitting through trial, like the one thing that I would want the most is that this guy did it so I get closure. So I get that. Like, let it be him so we could put this shit behind him. I can point to him for the rest of my life, be blamed. Because the moment they told him, say not guilty, like then I'm really fucked in the head.
Yeah, but then it's also the way that she talks about Tyrion in the scene and talks about how like he's despised by his sister and his father. And so like she feels like this is her own karma coming back on her. Because like she knows the how she's treated Tyrion all his life.
Oh yeah.
But she's like, if he did like so it's very much a, like if he did it, I deserve it.
And the person that she wanted to go kill him didn't do it. So fuck you, Lord Commander.
Right? Once you get the fuck out of here, go do your job. Because
Lord Commander.
you know who's not doing his job? Sir Boros.
Let that man sleep.
Knocked out. Because
But
how can.
I ain't gonna lie. Like, let's be real here. If Marjorie tries to get past me at the door, I'm probably just gonna let her in.
Because he's like, what about the Kingsguard? Oh, the Kingsguard. What?
I showed her my titties.
I think she could just sit there and say how she was Joffrey's wife, let him in.
Nah, she just one of them numbers.
I mean, it would work on me.
Exactly.
Also, say that if she came in my room when I was Tommen's age, I'd be like, yo, you my bride, say no more.
See, James, this is what's wrong with us as men. We have a double standard here. There's a double standard on pedophilia.
Listen.
It is. Because if this was reversed.
No, listen. We'll listen. I'm gonna get into it then. Let me tell you what I don't like about Larsa Pippen. How are you gonna date a man? I don't care if he was in his 30s when you started dating him. When you met him, he was a child. That's disgusting.
Very.
I have a 13-year-old. If my 13-year-old at 30 years old comes home with some woman he met when he was a child, I'm going to jail or
Correct. And when we say child, it's not like she met him and like she didn't meet Marcus Jordan at 17. Like Marcus Jordan is my age, and when the Bulls are winning championships, I was like 5 or 6 years old.
absolutely disgusting. Oh, it's
So
so gross. And what Margie's doing here is grooming. It is gross. It is uncomfortable. But I will say that at the end of the day, what Margie's doing is disgusting. But Tommen could literally just kill her with the stroke of his crayon. So he's still got more power than she does
oh, yeah.
in this dynamic. So that's what
She.
I say about
Right.
what happens here.
But he has more power, but he really doesn't. Like, in his mind, like, this is supposed to happen because he's supposed to marry her.
Yeah, all of this is disgusting.
It's weird. Yeah, it's very disgusting. I agree.
Also wouldn't let it be a secret. I'd let the whole world know. Be like, yo, I got her.
I'm 10 and I just. She almost kissed me. Lord.
Talkspace.com.
So who are we to blame for this? Are we to blame Marjorie or are we to blame Olenna? Everybody's favorite grandma.
I'm gonna blame the patriarchy, as usual.
Oh, good answer. Way to slide past the subject there. Way to not choose a side.
Listen, I think it's all gross, but Margie being married to Joffrey was going to piss Cersei off. We saw that. Imagine how Cersei's going to act now that she's going after her, like her baby. What
All right, well, let me ask you this.
Protect her from to protect Tommen from March.
You said earlier that Cersei's now regent again. She has a little bit of power. Why didn't she stop this?
She
we know
have-
how she feels about Marjorie. Who, like, I guess my main question is, who signs off on this?
Tywin.
Okay.
Tywin signs off on this.
Okay.
Tywin's saying, like, she's, as like I said, she's a queen regent. I said she's got a little bit of power, but
okay. So hierarchy is still tied. Well, Tommen, you know, stratosphere, I guess, but it's still Tywin,
and then
Cersei.
like, because let's be real, she's not gonna talk back to her dad. Because what good is it gonna do? None.
He just be sending these kids to their room, so grounded for 2 weeks, Cersei. Taking your PlayStation.
Anything else about Sir Pounce and
Mark? We do see here that Tommen is a complete polar opposite 180 from Joffrey. They are not the same. They are not even close to the same person.
Imagine having to sleep in that room and like look at that boar's head with the arrow through it.
Right?
Yeah.
If I were him, I would have been like, can I just keep my room? But I'm good. I got my posters up. My Michael Jordan posters are up already. Like, let me just stay here.
Romance. Part 2. Jaime and Brienne. Like, a sword? Yeah. That's a good gift. But armor? You went to somebody and guessed what you think my measurements are? That
Right.
means you've been thinking about my body. Ugh.
That man went to Victoria's Secret and got her some fucking armor. He went to Blacksmith's Secret.
He got her some.
Got it right.
First of all, Victoria's Secret is not a gift for a woman. I need you to be so serious. Bars in hell. Like, he went.
I've never done that. So, like, I set the bar low, but it ain't that low. Dude, I can't imagine doing that for Christmas. Like, that's your gift. Like, I'm gonna get you Victoria's Secret for Christmas. Like.
Hey, Will Smith did it to his wife in the movie Enemy of the State.
Did she
Teach
enjoy
his own,
it?
Though.
Yeah, she put it on too.
Wow. I used to buy some, like, and I would give it to Eric because it's a gift for you. It's not a gift.
Correct.
I
was going to say,
I
would equate that to like me getting tools for Christmas. Like, don't buy me tools for Christmas because I know what that means. Like, don't do it.
Went with two girls and helped them pick out some things for themselves.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't give it as a gift. Don't let that be your Christmas gift. Like, hey, I got you this. This is all you get.
It's a gift if you take me to pick it out and then you also foot the bill. That's a gift.
Okay.
Because I've said I want this thing.
Correct. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Anyway, armor, swords. And that book where Jamie's only got like a couple entries, like if the Lord Commander was supposed to fill it out, Barristan didn't think too highly of Jamie. Jesus.
Yeah, I think that. And I think Jamie also realizes that his legacy is unfinished. Like his story is not done. That's why I take that.
Okay. Did he get a ring though?
That or he's regretting that he hasn't done anything besides Kingsling.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason why he wants to keep the position he's in is to
so that he can
finish
lose.
That. Like,
yeah,
I got a legacy to write.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to get to write down his good deeds? Like, is he going to get some good deeds to write down in that book?
Like, does he go down as Big Ben or is he Philip Rivers?
Who was like pretty good, but like, did
Didn't
he really
win
do
it.
anything though?
Yeah,
and
did
look
she?
how he went out and look how he went out
I
He
don't
has
think
less
he's
kids than
gonna
Philip
be, I
Rivers.
don't think he's gonna be able to fill out the book just because of what I think the events of what's about to happen in the city and stuff.
Okay.
I feel like the only way that he would be able to fill out this book is if Daenerys comes swooping in on her fucking dragon and he stabs a dragon in the fucking eye.
Yeah.
And ends the war. Like, yeah. That's all you got, buddy. You got to slay three dragons and a chick to get your book written. Good luck. Oh, plus we got the White Walkers coming. Winter's coming too while we're at it. So slay them as well.
Well, nobody in the South believes that. So
yeah, true.
We ain't even worried about them.
We ain't even thought about that.
But he has a mission. He has a mission for Brienne. He gives Brienne the sword forged from ice, the ancestral sword of the Stark family, to go find Sansa.
I'm not gonna lie, this whole Smooth. Sequence made me a little emotional.
Right? And I got a third gift for you.
Oh boy.
I got a third gift for you.
That man was so happy. Pop was so happy to serve.
Yeah, I ain't never.
And that smile that he had on his face, it was like he met them whores again.
Yo, it had me rolling when a little bit like near the end of the scene, you see him in the background kneeling down, cuffing his hands like he's going to hoist her up on the horse. Like, yo, bro, you ain't doing it.
That's going to hurt. Don't hurt your back, buddy.
She don't need your help. I feel like Brienne would walk up to him and be like, what are you doing?
No, she is tall enough to step over that horse herself. No worries. She ain't got to get a boost. She just like swings her legs over.
Like, you know, Pod is just so excited that he's actually going to get to like be a real squire now. Because like, he's really just been an unpaid intern. Like, he's just been a gopher at King's Landing. Like, he's going to get to do some real knight shit now. Exciting stuff. And she names the sword. What did you think of the sword name?
I thought it was great.
Perfect.
It is the perfect sword. I think it's probably the worst sword name we have in the series, but it is the perfect one for her. It fits her.
Sword name. I love the sword name.
Not a fan.
These two swords that came from Ned Stark's sword, named Widow's Wail,
which is wrong.
A killer.
We talked about that. Should have been Wolfsbane.
A killer. and Oathkeeper. Duty and honor.
Oathkeeper. I can never swing this against anybody because it's too good. It's too good of a name to be killing somebody with. This will only just stay on my hip.
Yes, unless.
And be for looks.
Unless it comes down to me having to keep my oath. I don't have to, like, I'm not going to wield this sword unless it's part of my oath. Is my Oathkeeper. I love it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Just gonna name something different.
Anyway, she rides off with Pod and her and Jamie get one last look, and I actually did shed a couple thug tears in this scene. Is this their
I'm judging you.
Romance.
It was an emotional emotional scene.
Is this their final goodbye?
I have that written down as well. Do they see each other again?
I'm going to say yes.
You want to guess the circumstances? Do you have any theories?
I think that everybody's going to have to come together to fight this war against the White Walkers. So they're going to see each other in battle.
All right. I think my guess, if I hadn't seen the series, would be, and probably just to play devil's advocate, honestly, would be no, because in my mind at this point, why would they ever see each other again?
Because everybody's going to come together and fight these White Walkers.
Correct.
Because the entire
like at this point, like we don't know if they ever
see each other again, I'm okay with it because that was a good goodbye.
That was a good goodbye. But do we get the fullness of their story together? Like, is this how their goodbye should be?
Yes.
I mean, it's a good goodbye. It's heartbreaking. But, like, some stories are heartbreaking.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not the full goodbye. Like, what if, since I made an office reference earlier, what if Jim just never came back from New York?
What if Jim just, that would mean that he's fully not in love with Pam. But, like, it's Jim coming back from New York is a lot different than her like surviving this journey to go find this girl. She has no clue where she
No, that's not the. This has got to be Jamie getting on his horse and going after that thing.
Do you think Jamie is the man who's capable of getting on his horse to go after the woman he loves?
Let him get his hand right.
And do you think he's capable? Do you think that's something that he's capable of?
No.
Okay. All right.
Depends on the girl. Guarantee if Cersei gets on a boat and goes somewhere, he's gonna get on his horse to go find her. Or she gets on a horse to go somewhere, he's following.
I mean, he did do all this to get back to Cersei. Do you think he would do you think he would get on that horse for Brienne?
No.
Like Castle Black. John gathers volunteers to go on his mission. Parentheses, who finds a Stark first? Brienne, or the people headed north where the other Stark is? Who finds one first?
I think the next scene kind of gives us an easy answer.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, not necessarily, but I guess if you had to like, if it's a chart and who's trending up here, like it's them. It's John. He's trending up to find a Stark first.
He is.
You know, I'm surprised that when Locke came down the stairs to get John and Sam, I'm surprised he didn't eavesdrop a little longer and listen in to what they were saying. Because if I would have heard, because by the time he came down there, he said, "Caster's Keep, Bran," I'd have been like, "Oh, wait a minute, this is what I'm here for."
Okay. Well, no, I was gonna say like maybe he knew, but like he definitely didn't know what they were sending him, like what he wanted with John. But that's a good point. You're right.
But that brings up my question. Is he buying in to the Night's Watch and Jon?
No.
Like, John,
No.
you're in danger.
I do not.
Really? You don't think after hearing that speech that Jon Snow inspired him?
Absolutely not.
He said, I do. I think he sat there and was like, Roose would never. Roose Bolton would never.
I do
You
not think
don't
that.
think Ramsay Bolton's best friend was inspired to service by Jon Snow?
No,
Wow.
I do not.
Wow. So you do you just think that lowly of Jon? Wow.
No, but that does bring up a question. If this man is going to take his vows, and then is he gonna, like, after the fact that he gets Bran for Roose and then possibly kills Jon, is he gonna stay as a Night's Watch? And then if he doesn't, he leaves, aren't they gonna have to kill him?
Nah, fuck that. Alistair would let that man walk, number one, for killing John. Number two, like I'm not staying around for a wilding war. Like, I'm out of here, yo. I did my part. Alistair, the man is off. It's out of your hair. I'm
Plus,
going back.
remember, he was sent here by the Warden of the North. So that's a part. That's just doing crooked shit with all your crooked friends.
Can you just pardon somebody out of the Night's Watch?
He's a Warden of the North.
But he took a vow to be Night's
Yeah,
Watch.
he did.
Did.
Ned could have pardoned that guy at the first in the first scene of the series.
But the law is to kill the deserter.
But this ain't Ned sitting there either.
Okay, but
This
literally
is Roose Bolton, who just like he's a traitor.
right, but we're assuming that when he leaves the wall, that he's gonna make it back to Roose.
Who's there to stop him?
All the other people at the wall.
Well, who's there to stop him? Who can fight?
Right. Like, here's the thing. You kill John. You come back with the rest of the Night's Watch, depending on how this goes. Either you escape and be like, oh, they killed everybody, or like you kill everybody. And then you're like, oh no. And then you get back there and you leave in the middle of the night. And then you go back to the Warden of the North and he's just like, I know you broke the law, but I'm going to pardon you.
If I put you in a room of 65-year-olds, James, who's winning that fight? You or the 65-year-old? This is like one of those situations.
65-year-olds is a lot of 5-year-olds.
I'm tossing them little niggas all over the place. Get them out of here. Oh, hell yeah.
Give them at one?
Hell yeah. I didn't gain weight. I can toss some little motherfuckers around.
I don't think you can.
I ain't got no worries.
I think you're underestimating it. I think you need to pick the bear friend.
Look, and if I can't beat him, I'm giving him some motherfucking candy, and I'm just gonna get myself out of there. Here, go over there. There's some crayons.
Go color. I'm talking about giving children candy and the grooming.
Oh, so you know what? That's a James thing. Look, giving kids candy is definitely better than drugging women.
Yes.
We both ain't shit, James.
to get them to safety. Let's remember, it was to get her to safety.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's what every man that's drugged a woman has told her. You're safe with me. Yeah, guarantee it.
Man, wow.
I mean, they're safe with me.
Look, that's what Marjorie was telling Tommen. Yeah, we was judging.
But also in this scene where John just gave his speech and the volunteers stood up, this is why I think that what I said earlier is that I expected more people to stand up.
Really?
Yes.
I think that Alistair expected less people to stand up.
Alistair did expect less people, but I expected more people to stand up.
Here's what I think. I think more people would have stood up if there were more people to stand up. I think they hit a cap and eventually people are like, you know what? This is enough. Like, some of us got to be here. But 30 of us sitting in this room and 15 are already going with John.
And you got to think about like how many like of the people in this room are rangers versus like stewards or builders.
And cooks and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I feel like, did Sam stand up? Was Sam even in there?
Sam did not stand.
And see, I feel like Sam and the... Because he went before with John.
I got a baby. I have a baby.
Yeah, I got a baby and a girl. And plus, like, this is not a mission before hoes. And I think Sam has realized because he went before, he is not cut out for this shit.
He's the only one that's killed a White Walker.
This ain't killing White Walkers. This is going to go kill all the men in the Night Watch. I've been whooping my ass.
White Walkers are worse than men.
We didn't see what's his name?
Rast has been
whooping his ass all over all over the wall. So like, Sam ain't going back to fight him.
Let me tell you something. White Walkers are not worse than men. Nothing is worse than men. We'll get to that.
If I get my ass kicked by another man, like, I ain't gonna try to fight him again. Ain't no rematches for me. I take the L. I'm out.
I just stood up.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're into like knives and swords and shit. Sam's in the books. like you over there watching Star Wars and shit. You think you a motherfucking Jedi. Sam don't think that. He's Harry Potter or some shit. I don't know.
No, Harry Potter is not in the books. He's Hermione.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't, we make enough Lord of the Rings references. He's fucking Frodo or some shit. I don't know.
No.
Is that a good reference? Did I do that right?
No, he would be Sam. He would literally be Sam.
Got you. That's the only person's name I knew in Lord of the Rings, so I had to throw it out. I don't know who else to name.
But, Do you think Thorne looks worried about the amount of men that John did get, though?
Yeah.
I think Thorne is like praying to the Lord of Light right now that John dies.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's like, because he's only the acting Lord Commander.
And again, how much do you have to hate somebody to have this shit knocking at your door and you'd be like, you know what? Let I want this the best fighter we got and the person that knows them the most to die. And I'll just deal with dying to them.
And
Fuck it.
it's not really hatred, it's pride. It's just pride. That's what's motivating Alistair, is his pride. Because like John is, yeah, nobody wants to work. Okay, you've been in a company for like 30 years, you're up for a promotion, and you see this new kid who's been here like 5 years. And he's about to get it over you. Like you see it slipping away from you. That's pride. That's not hatred. That is pride. That's on you. I don't
Yeah.
hate you. That's a, you need to look inward. Do you see how you need to call the lady? See what happens when you call the lady?
Yeah.
So let y'all know now, if somebody had been there 30 years and they mad because I got a job over them, like you've been here 30 years. Sorry, I don't know what to tell you.
See?
That's a reason why you ain't got the job yet.
Yes, look inward. Look.
Yeah, there's a reason.
Yeah, look inside. Yeah. So, yeah, I do hope you die, but because I need this job. I need this fucking job, man. You don't understand. So, Locke volunteers. Now he's going to. Here we fucking go. Exciting stuff. And where are they headed? Craster's Keep. Men. Ominous music. Here we are.
What a horrible fucking place.
I dislike the
They
scene a lot.
tell you when you go somewhere to leave it better than you found it. They have not. They have left it worse than they found it. Like you, how could it have gotten worse? And they figured out how to make it fucking worse. Them girls are wishing Craster was still alive.
Yep.
It won't this bad.
Remember what you said, James, about like they are who they've always been. Carl's talking about, and like when Carl mentioned being from Gin Alley, do you think he knew Davos? Because that's where Davos grew up too. They look around the same age.
Maybe. He said he was a legend.
Huh?
Look
You
around the
think that, do you think they look around the same age? I feel like Davos got like 15 years on that man.
No, maybe not 15, but like I mean, like around, like you know what I'm saying, they would have been.
I'd be
They would
hurt
have.
if you said me and Davos look the same
No,
age.
I'm saying
No.
they look within the same generation, like maybe like an elder millennial versus like a younger millennial. Like there's like a
Okay.
10-year gap, but
Yeah, but generations are like
I don't
15
mean
years, so like that's like.
I don't mean new Davos like they were friends. I mean new Davos like knew of Davos.
Like new Davos, like, yo, I remember you when I was like 5 and you was like doing your thing at like 20.
Yeah, because he had to start running somewhere.
All right, okay, I get it. I get it.
Don't
Davos, you was a smuggling legend when I was 5.
legend, because if you're a smuggling legend, you're not doing it
You're
right.
not doing it right,
True. True.
Anyways. Gross, 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 gross. Nature versus nurture, etc. Blah, 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 blah. It's a lot.
All
Anyway,
right. Question. How long has fucking Mormont been dead? Because that skull is fucking clean.
I feel
Well,
like.
they probably washed it.
No. He means clean, like it's a skull, like there's no meat on it.
Yeah.
That's because, like, I think they.
They cleaned it.
They might have boiled it.
Yeah, just like you would any other Any other corpse?
Put that in. Not a lot of game out here. It's winter time.
That's plenty of game. You see all them arms in that bucket? Like, that's plenty. I got plenty of food. They ain't hungry.
Oh my gosh.
They are hunting the right shit.
But Rast, Rast is such a bitch. Like, he's such a bully because the last time we saw him, he was talking about killing Sam. He was talking real big. And look at him now. A loser.
Rast is us. Rast is us. Like, you ever as a kid, like, went outside when it was dark to, like, go, like, fucking forgetting your backpack in the car or something? And you was like, okay, it's fine. I'll go out there in the dark. And then you hear, like, a fucking twig crack or something. And you get scared of shit and, like, run back to the house.
Full sprint.
Full sprint. Yes. Rast is us.
Yeah. Ooh. But we have Craster's last boy brought in. Gift for the gods. Hey, new dad, how'd you feel about this one?
Not my kid, home. My kid's safe. Oh my
gosh. Your kid's also a girl.
True. I ain't gotta worry about it. Honestly, if I was raising my kid like that, that kid's better off with the fucking White Walkers.
I mean, we'll see.
They're gonna bring you in. You're gonna be part of a team. You're gonna get raised the way they want to raise you. Like, with them, you might end up as dinner tomorrow.
Oh my
God. You're better off. You got a better chance with the White Walkers.
I cannot believe that you see a baby lying in the snow, crying, weeping, like wailing, and you felt nothing?
I did feel something, but I felt hope for that baby's future. Being away from fucking Carl and them, I felt hopeful. I was like, you know what? This baby has a chance now.
Man.
Optimism. That's what this is.
Anyway.
You got to look at the big picture and look at the good in it.
Anyway, Rast gets back after dropping a baby off in the middle of nowhere. And we meet the beast. Who was shocked, Ginge? Because we've been asking where Ghost was. Were you, and when he told him to feed the beast, is that what you thought?
I don't remember. I think I wasn't, but I was more questioning, like, when?
Like, when they got him?
When did they get him?
When and why? Why keep him?
Why? I wrote, like, why keep him alive?
Well, he'd be good to have for...
Oh,
for
fuck what? That. This protection? Who's letting him out of the cage? Like, you got him caged, number one. That's like me saying, like, I'm going to put my Roddy outside as a guard dog and putting him in a cage. Yeah, because that's doing some good.
Right? And this wolf that you've been abusing, do you think that he's going to, like, help you in battle?
No.
Yeah, like, I don't know why they're keeping it. And then he's growling at you when you're feeding him. Like, put that bitch down. Like, oh, yell at that motherfucker at this point.
But before Rast can do anything, can feed him, the puddle freezes. And you hear a bunch of crows. And you know something's coming for the baby. Oh dear. You know who else can hear the baby? Bran! It's Bran! Bran's back!
Yeah, they're so close.
They're so close to Craster's Keep. Just around the river bend. But Bran wargs into summer, sees Ghost. And summer gets trapped, so now we gotta head to Craster's Keep.
I want to say that the other boy, he through this entire sequence looks sick.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a seizure,
like, you're kind of sickly.
like often, and you're trekking like through the wilderness in the freezing.
Yeah, but in all the other scenes, like he didn't look as sick. Like this scene, this yeah. whole sequence, like he looked deathly sick.
It's almost like
bro about to die.
His health is deteriorating the further north they travel.
He's away from his meds. He ain't bringing it with him. He ain't packing.
There's no CVS out here.
No, hell no. Craster ain't got no pharmacy there. He ain't got one Tylenol on that bitch.
But we get the Nickelodeon Disney Channel pop up over the log as they're scoping out Craster's.
Craster, why did they think they can hide there? We saw John try to hide behind a twig.
Oh my God.
Like, they can see you, man.
And of course, Mira is like, no, we need to leave right now. And we're like, no, no, no. Yeah, because all they're going to do is kill you, buddy. Come on.
I can't leave my dog. Gotta go get my dog.
Oh, poor Mira being stuck with these men. And then, of course, they get caught and a bunch of bored men have new things to play with.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Carl makes Bran as highborn. How did you feel about the way that he like confirmed that it was Bran?
I think Bran should he did the right thing.
Okay. He did his best. He did the best he could do.
Yeah.
Because Hodor's
he tried. Died.
And then your dog ain't there. Your dog's trapped.
And your brother's dog's caged up.
I am surprised, though, that even though he said that he was a Stark, that he still didn't attempt to kill the other two. Because, like, they're still mouths to feed no matter who Bran is.
Well, they're definitely, like, Jojen is killable. Mira is something new to play with.
Yeah.
Which, like, he starts to get into, but then Jojen has a seizure, which means that he's seeing something. What is it? What happens to Craster's boys? What a long journey it was for me to figure out that this is Jojen seeing it through the baby. Wow. Don't I feel dumb?
Is it?
Yeah, when it goes into the baby's point of view,
yeah,
Jojen. Like when the baby's looking up at the white, that's why the baby stopped crying, because Jojen was in the baby, like was seeing through the baby.
Oh, sure.
That's how I interpreted
it. I'll take your word for it.
I thought that it was. That's how I interpreted it.
That's what I've thought.
Okay. Yeah.
Just because of the seizure. Like, I mean, I feel like if it was something different, they would have shown POV through a fucking bird or some shit.
Yeah. Because, like, you see the white with the baby. And then you see from the baby's point of view looking up at the white. And then you see the baby's point of view right up until it's about to be touched. And that's when it switches back to third person.
Okay.
I'm not sensing buy-in here.
No, I get it. I see it.
There we go. That's what I was looking for.
But anyway, their headquarters looks really neat. Like, ominous, but very cool. I really like it. What did you think of it?
Yeah, it was cool.
Stoll's very Fortress of Solitude.
Looks cool.
Very Fortress of Solitude. I like that.
So, I'm going to ask you, do you recognize... Are we going to name him?
No, let's not yet. Okay. I thought about that. I was going to say it earlier, then I just like, nah.
Do you recognize him from Bran's vision at the tree? You got
so I wrote this down. That's the second time. Remember, I pointed it out that we saw an important character, but I'm not going to name him yet.
You got a real quick snippet of him in Bran's vision at the Weirwood tree. When he saw like the dragon over King's Landing.
You have to go back and look. Yeah, it's in there.
I will.
It's quick. Like it's very quick. But I can see why you missed him. Because you wouldn't have thought to look for it. Like you would have just, it would have just blended in.
Yeah.
And go back and watch Elena swipe that
yeah, I gotta do that too.
Jewel from Sansa's necklace.
Yeah, right. that kid has a future now. Good job, kid.
Yeah.
You made it.
Yeah, future and death. Oh boy.
He's part of an army now.
Who a future in the army? Men.
Sometimes that's the thing that kids
structure,
need to go.
Discipline. Yep. That's a roof over your head. That's food and water in your belly.
And all you have
you
to
learn, you learn good, and then you get out and you can get any job you want to.
Well, I don't know about that part.
Companies love vets.
I don't know about that part.
Yeah.
But they say they do. Every company loves advertising.
We're getting
they hire
better.
Veterans.
We're getting better.
That kid is not going to end up with a bunch of PTSD.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He won't remember. His eyes are blue now.
Anyway.
I'm going to need you to find the good in this, all right? James is going to go back and rewatch those scenes. I want you to just find the good in this scene. Find the good in this kid. Just think about it.
Anyway, that was season 4, episode 4, Oathkeeper. Anyone to pour one out for?
No. Or am I tripping?
No.
Summer the dog. Do we think she makes it? Pour one out for her.
Yeah, I think she's trapped.
But yeah,
I don't think anybody.
Am I missing somebody?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
All right. So stick it with the pointy end. All of mine come from the same scene.
I'm getting bad at this. I got two.
Only
you know, the show's getting bad because it ain't getting me no quotables. That's what it is.
I
only had three, so.
All of mine are from the same scene, so I'm going to run down mine right. Well, except for the other one. The one that leads in. Sansa's not a killer. Not yet, anyway. And then Littlefinger. A man with no motive is a man no one suspects. Always keep your foes confused. If they don't know who you are or what you want, they can't know what you plan to do next. Very important bit of game he put her onto there. And then when Sansa says, who could trust you? And then, of course, Lady OG, I was good. I was very, very good. Done.
She might not be lying. She might be lying. We'll never know.
She's obviously not lying. He married
because 50 years from now, I'm going to be saying the same thing.
And Brady will be complaining about your oafish manner. Anyway.
If she hasn't started already. James, I'll go next. Okay. Why not? My first one comes from the English lesson or romance scene, whatever you want to call it. It's two very different things, by the way. Comes from Grey Worm. Missandei is teacher good, my queen. And then my next one comes from Tyrion when he's talking to Jaime. He says, the Kingslayer brothers, you like it? I like it.
Me too.
I do too. That's it. That's all I got. That's all this episode gave me.
That'd be a really good, like, that's a good buddy cop spinoff.
The Kingslayer brothers. They should do that.
Yeah.
Put it in the what ifs. Like, put it in the what ifs. What if Tyrion did do it?
Yeah, I like
All right, Gingy, what you got?
All right, so my first one's from Bronn to Jaime, where he asks him, "You going to fight for him?" Talking about going to fight for Tyrion. And then my next one's from Olenna. "If I have to walk, take one more leisurely stroll through these gardens, I'll fling myself from the cliffs."
She hates life. So she don't hate life. She hates everything around her. That's not her. Like,
that's just,
fuck 'em.
That's just.
Hell yeah. She is old.
Old ladies.
Hell yeah. That's old. That's an old black woman.
That's just great. Old ladies in general.
True.
It does not matter.
And then my last one is from Brienne, and it's just Oathkeeper.
I love it. I love it. She said the thing. And what a thing to say.
I feel like she held that in forever, though. I feel like she was a kid. And somebody asked her one day, "What will you name a sword one day?" Like, she had her moment. Like, shit came full circle.
like when he gave it to her, she was like, "Oh my God.
It's my fucking time."
Yes. He's like, "Oh, I need him to ask me. He's got to ask me."
And I can't fuck it up. I can't stutter during this shit. I cannot fuck it up.
Right? Because you can't just ball. You can't just be like, "Yeah, I'm going to name it Oathkeeper."
Yeah. And you can't be like, "I'm going to name it Oathkeeper." And then Oathkeeper. Yeah, you can't fuck it up.
Good luck. And don't get up.
All right, Jinj, blind rankings.
All right, so I was going to put this one at 9, but because of the scene of Jamie and Brienne, I'm going to put it at 7.
All right.
Because we had 8 already, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sword. Yeah, I'm getting the low ones out the way.
Well,
this one was, I mean, listen, before we started recording, you were like, "I don't think this is going to be a very long one." Now look.
That's true. We did go longer than last week.
I always bullshitting half time.
No, we actually didn't. I'm going to listen back to this because I don't think we went off on a whole lot of tangents.
We didn't go off on a whole lot of tangents, but I put some bullshit in there.
Yeah.
I was bullshitting.
I mean, I've already decided, like, I already know what the name of this episode is going to be.
Do you? What is it?
TNA.
Who?
Questions that need answers.
Oh. I'm dumb.
I didn't need you to answer that for me. I already knew.
Oh, thank you.
All right. And that is...
Set the bar low. That's why when I make a good point, you're very surprised.
I'm so proud of you when you say something that makes me think. Listen, when you say something that makes me think, I'm so surprised that, like, I don't let it go and I obsess about it until I figure out an answer. And that's why we are where we are right now.
And look, and when you do that, I can see it on your face. Like, you wear well. Like, you, the look on your face is like a proud mother.
Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of Charges to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. Don't forget to rate and review us wherever you're listening. And you can follow me at Lauren Lovegood, G-O-O-D-E, everywhere. So on behalf of my co-host, Gingy, and TJ, I am Lauren Lovegood, and we will see you next time. And now our watch is ended.